Welcome to the Vikings Tech Podcast, where we'll help guide you through where technology and education meet. In this episode 3, in studio today, we have myself, John, and Jason. We're going to talk about Black Friday and tech shopping in general. So it should be a fun little special episode right before the holidays.
I need to spend all the money.
You tend to.
Bah humbug.
John, we're going to convert you here. So for this episode, instead of necessarily going to a huge amount of news in general, we figured we would give everybody a little bit of a tech perspective on holiday shopping and things that are coming up as far as what's in the ads and things of that nature, and just, you know, kind of help everybody out, because I know a lot of people tend to stop us in the hallways to ask for opinions, and we can't always be everywhere at once. So we figured we'd try to get some of that advice out to everybody. So we took a little time at home over the last week or so and over the weekend and started looking at the ads so that we could kind of give everybody some heads up on some of the good tech deals that are out there. So, Jason, why don't you go ahead and give me a rundown of stuff you saw that caught your eye?
All righty. Well, I was looking at some of the TV selections and things that you would use in your living room. Latest thing now is 4K and UHD and HDR and all these terms that, you know, can confuse a lot of people. 4K is the latest, highest definition available in mass. The HDR is high dynamic range, which is gives you a lot of color, so it's going to make everything look fantastic.
And a small side note on that, if you get a 4K Blu-ray player and you go to buy 4K Blu-rays and you don't have HDR, they will not play correctly because all 4K Blu-rays now are HDR.
I did not know that.
Thank you. I actually ran into that problem by buying an Xbox One S when those came out last Christmas. And it'll do HDR, but my TV won't. I bought 4K Blu-rays, and they're HDR, and all it does is spin and tell me I don't have the right TV.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So, when you run into the same problem that Mike did, make sure you get the proper TV to support that. Now,
right?
TVs, cheaper and cheaper, bigger and bigger every single year. Right now, I'm looking at Amazon. You can get a 65-inch Samsung Smart TV 4K Ultra HD HDR supported for $800. I bought a 65-inch last year and it was $1,500. That's hurts a little bit, but as technology, it gets cheaper every year.
True story. And if you're not necessarily needing 65 inches, I found an ad at Kohl's, of all places.
Oh, I can get towels and a TV.
True story. It's an off-brand. It's a Haier, H-A-I-E-R, 55-inch, 4K Ultra HD, LED-based, for $299.99 and $90 rebate in Kohl's cash.
Kohl's cash, it's
good stuff. My wife loves it.
More valuable than regular cash.
So in total, I mean, you're talking about $100 off the list price of the TV. Obviously, at that price tag, you're probably not talking about the most spectacular television in the world, but I don't know. Do you have any experience working with these weird off-brands, John? I mean, Vizio kind of came out of nowhere years back, and it was considered an off-brand, and it's become kind of a bit of a standard.
I've had some issues with sound quality on some of the off-brands. I've only had a couple at home that were off-brand, but the sound was tinny in most of them.
Huh. And that's pretty easy to fix, thankfully, with sound bars today. And I think Jason has one that he found that he was going to talk about. So
yeah, so
good segue.
Bringing up sound issues, as the TVs, as we all know, have gotten thinner and thinner, so have the speakers. When your TV's only an inch thick, that doesn't give you a lot of room for speakers. And as we all know with laptops and iPads and whatnot, the sound, although it can be loud, isn't always great. So why not get a sound bar? Add that to your TV. Once again, Amazon's coming in. They have their own line of sound bars. You can get a basic 2.0 channel, which is essentially the left and right audio, for $50. Let's say you want to add a sub to that for when you're watching movies and want to hear the rumble of an engine. That's only $30 more for $80. I've seen in a lot of ads, Vizio soundbars are great, and there are a lot of them are on sale. I would name the store, but just about every single store has them on sale this holiday season. So definitely upgrade to a soundbar. I've had one on all my TVs, and it's amazing. It's a game changer. So
awesome. All right, so let's shift some gears a little bit to the left here, and let's talk about stuff for the kids or the big kids at home, depending upon which you have. Game consoles. Any good deals that you guys found? Anything interesting in the game console world?
You can get a Nintendo Switch for full price.
Well, yeah. So that seems to be a running theme. Like, there are sales on the Xbox, there's sales on PlayStations, but nothing on the new ones.
It's a hot item, so they're not going to discount it.
Right, which kind of becomes a general theme in technology all the way around the horn. Every one of these deals that we're talking about is because it's last year's model or something they're trying to liquidate or, you know, something they have an overrun of stock in. It's not the premier new items. And that's been a running theme in Black Friday sales for ages. It just never really became a big thing until these little nuances. Like, I bought the 4K TV last year on the Black Friday sale, ran into the problem without having the HDR support. And those little nuancey things are starting to come in. So Xbox is a good one to talk about. So Xbox, there's the Xbox One S as in Sam, and the Xbox One X as in X-ray, which is the new one, which does 4K gaming. But the S will do 4K video without gaming. They're doing sales on the S. Decent sized ones too. You're talking getting a 500 gig version of the S for $200, which is a fairly low price for an Xbox. And they're retailing in the new ones at about $550, $600.
Yeah, they're expensive.
They are expensive. New Nintendo Switch, where's that runs in what?
$299 is the price I've seen every single flyer I've seen. They say they have some in stock. They don't list actual quantities, but.
Yeah, and Nintendo's been better about stocking those. But last year, hot item over Christmas was the NES Classic from Nintendo, though. Now, those have been discontinued. They're not making them anymore. But this Christmas, they're putting out the Super NES Classic. So for the 32-bit gamer in your life, kids of the 90s, as it were, would be nostalgic for these.
Love my Yoshi.
True story. So those are out there. Again, no sale pricing on it, but if you can find them, get them, because they are going to be made in limited quantity as per Nintendo standard. So if you see it on the shelf and you're debating, get it and return it if you don't want it, but get it, because if you wait and you have to go to eBay, God help you, the price could be hundreds of dollars over the retail price, which is what happened with the NES Classic, and their supply list on that never came around, and if you didn't happen to get lucky and get one on the shelf, I mean, you were out a lot of money for something that really wasn't worth it.
Something that costs $60 ends up costing $200. It's like Hatchimals all over again.
Right. Absolutely. So other than in video gaming, I guess the other big thing everybody always asks us about is laptops. So, John, you want to give some basic laptop pointers when you're looking to purchase a laptop, what you look for?
I'd like non-moving parts. So that means solid-state drives, which will tend to last a bit longer. At least 4 gig of RAM, 8 would be preferable. If you're going to be doing email and just general web surfing, document creation, you probably don't need a high-end machine. If you're going to do gaming or you're going to do photo or video manipulation, you're starting to talk a little bit more expensive machine, a larger hard drive, larger memory, faster processor, better graphics quality. So it's going to depend on what you want to do.
Absolutely. So, Jason, you did a lot of ad surfing. Did you find any good deals on any laptops or tablets are out there?
The Chromebooks, once again, are a big hit this year. I mean, I myself have a Chromebook at home, and I love it. The battery lasts me for weeks on end, and for what I'm doing at home on it, basic, oh, let me check my email real quick. Let me check Amazon. Let me see, you know, anything I want to do real quickly. The Chromebook, it's there. It starts up instantly. There's no moving parts, as John mentioned. It does what I need it to do. Now, if I was going to you know, make video games or start Photoshop, Chromebook or a low-end computer probably isn't going to do that. From my searching around, Target, Walmart, Best Buy, all the typical places. I think even Costco, I saw some deals for some pretty decent laptops around the $600 to $800 range. You can get a quad-core i5 with 8 gigs of RAM, a terabyte hard drive for that price, $600 to $800, and 15-inch screen. That's, some of them are even touch. So, I mean, it all depends. You want to get one that fits your needs.
Gotcha. All right. So we're throwing around a lot of weird acronyms that are normal to us. So let's take a moment, step back, and break this down a little bit about what each of these numbers actually mean. So let's talk about processors for a minute. There are two major schools of processor. There's AMD and there's Intel.
What about the food processor?
Well, that's not us. We don't support food processors here.
Okay.
So with the two schools of processor, really for at-home use, I don't think there's any major difference. If it says it's AMD, if it says it's Intel, it really doesn't matter. Once you go inside either one of those two doors, though, there are numerous new doors that are available to you in the next hallway, be it Celeron, Core processors, i3, i5, i7, and that's just the Intel side of the house. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't know a lot about the AMD side of how they segment their processor line out, but all those different names really break down to value processors, middle-of-the-road processors, and high-end processors. And obviously, the closer to high-end, the more expensive the processor is going to be. For production equipment we buy here, I don't think we ever get anything below a Core i3. And we almost exclusively buy Intel processors.
That is correct.
So that said, I don't necessarily said for at-home use, chances are an AMD is going to be fine. You just want to make sure it's multi-core. All the new operating systems are based on multi-core. I know, John, do you remember what the recommended minimum core count is now? Is it three,
four? I'm a fan of four.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably four is going to be what you're getting.
Four would be considered a standard workstation in a work environment now. And then that's the thing. It's just like any other piece of furniture. If you buy commercial grade, it's always going to last longer than if you buy residential. Residential stuff's designed to break on the residential user so that they have to buy a new one. It's what happens. So Celeron processors, they'll work at a Chromebook.
Yep.
They're fine there. Not a lot of high-end processing, but don't think you're going to get that and give it to your college-bound student and it's going to last until they get out of college. It just won't do it.
No.
So that's processors. Obviously, the bigger the number, the faster it is. The higher the number in the Core I series, the faster it is, the more it can do. Quad cores start at the i5. You can't get quad cores in i3.
Correct.
So just keep those things in mind. Again, for web browsing, balancing your checkbook, and some very light photo touch-up stuff like the autocorrect feature on like a Google Photo, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to try to render a three-hour home movie event extravaganza for your next family reunion, probably not going to cut it. So
you won't have hard drive space either.
Well, yeah, that's also a possible problem there. So so the next spec on a laptop, we're talking RAM, which is basically how many things you can do at once. I mean, that's what RAM kind of equates to. Very simplified version of what it does.
But, very simplified, yes.
But
RAM's the working area.
Yep, perfect. So Windows 10, the minimum amount you want is 4 gig. If you have less than that, your machine's going to run very, very slow.
Especially if you like to have about 40 Chrome tabs open, your RAM is going to the amount of available RAM is going to plummet because in order to keep that tab open, it reserves part of the memory in RAM so that when you go back to it, it's right where you left it. Well, if you have a bunch of tabs open, your RAM, the available RAM is going to plummet and your computer's going to slow down as a result.
Good points. So more or less what it comes down to is if you like to multitask, have more RAM. The more stuff you like to do at once, have more RAM. That's going to enable you to do that with less problems. How much RAM do you have in your home machine, John?
Eight.
64.
Yeah, and I have 16 in mind. So I mean, that just to give you a rough idea. I mean, there's not a one size fits all here, but RAM tends to be an area where on these sales that they will skimp, and you have to go back and buy more later. Now, in most cases, if you're not buying an Apple product, not really the biggest deal in the world. You can buy RAM from Newegg or Amazon fairly cheaply. It takes a Phillips screwdriver and you take the battery out and you plug it in, it's done. As long as you make sure you buy the right sticks. So RAM upgrades are not usually a huge hefty amount of work. Most people who watch a YouTube video could probably handle it without any extra help, other than speccing that you bought the right piece of equipment. So if you do decide to buy a lower end laptop and want to, you know, save money on the purchase price and look at the price of RAM, just check out what RAM it says it uses, or contact the manufacturer by phone and ask them what an extra RAM kit for it would cost. That's the easiest way to make sure you get the right part. And if you're going to do the install and want a quick pointer or two on how to do it, you can grab us or YouTube, and we'll be more than happy to at least show you where the doors are stereotypically and what to look for.
Kingston.com is a good place for memory because it knows by models and suggests, and also directs you to non-Kingston vendors.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
I believe they also have a tool you can download and run on your computer, and it'll tell you exactly what the memory is that's in your computer. So if you want to buy more, you know exactly what you have, and you could buy the same type, because there's, like, what they're up to, like DDR4 now?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different gobbly alphabet codes that we deal in that I wouldn't worry about knowing them. I'd just, you know, you take your model information, you call one of these memory manufacturers, or grab the tool or go to their website, and it'll tell you what you can put in. And that's always the important part. So if you have any direct questions about a specific, I mean, feel free to give us a buzz. We'd be more happy to help you out for the holiday season. But, you know, that's the basics on RAM. Now, hard drive space. Now, the hard drives are kind of an interesting animal now. There's a couple different types. You know, anybody want to lead off on this so that I'm not the only one barking in the mic?
Well, you've got the solid state drive, which is like a big thumb drive. It's fast memory, no moving parts. Going to be pricey because it's no moving parts. But it is quick to get data on and off. Standard drives spin. They're a little cheaper. They can tend to break if they get dropped, where a solid state may not. If you're going to be doing a lot of stuff with video or you have a lot of music, more hard drive is better. More space is better. If you do a lot of stuff on the cloud, you may not need a whole bunch of hard drive space because you're now moving your storage out to the internet somewhere. So if you're going to be dealing with 4K movies, you're probably going to need a good sized hard drive to store the content.
Absolutely. So now when you're talking about storage space, standard metric rules apply in computer science land. So mega, giga, tera, it kind of just keeps going up. The bigger the prefix, the more space. Nowadays, it's not uncommon to see a 1 terabyte drive in almost every home user's computer.
If you're looking at a computer that has anything smaller than 500 gig, probably would look somewhere else.
if you're doing photos or videos.
I like to future-proof. I mean, do I need 64 gigs of RAM in my computer at home? No, but I want to make sure.
But you're
sure
Jason, and that's what you do.
It's true. I went overkill, but when I built my computer 6 years ago and spent the money that I did, it's still just as fast as it was back then as it is now. But that's all about knowing what you're getting. So, as Mike said, if you have questions, just let us know. But my personal preference is, if that computer has less, if it's not a Chromebook, if you're looking at a legitimate laptop or MacBook, if it has anything less than 500, I'm not a fan of that. But
well, that's good to know. I mean, I'll buy a laptop at 250. A desktop I wouldn't buy with less than a terabyte.
True.
And that tends to be my rule of thumb. True. Because it depends. Now, that's also assuming that I'm going to have two machines. Or potentially a network attached storage at home. Those are starting to become popular. Synology is starting to sell some that are at a price tag that people can afford at home, a couple hundred bucks, and you can put storage in your house that isn't in any computer that you can access from all your computers, which is kind of a cool way to go, or anywhere in the world. That's a little bit deeper of a topic than we'll cover today. But if there's interest in hearing more about how to set up a home network like that, let us know, and we'll do a future episode on that. But anyway, so we've talked a little bit about the parts. Now, I found a couple laptop deals out there that I thought were interesting that I'd like to share. So I found one at a website that is not normally on anyone's radar, but it's kind of a cool site if you're into gadgety stuff, and it's B&H Photo. So the website is www.bhphotovideo.com, and they're selling a 15.6-inch screened Dell Inspiron laptop. With 2.4 processor, Core i3, only a dual core, but it has 8 gig of RAM and a terabyte hard drive. And they're selling it for $350.
That's pretty good.
It's a good price. Again, this laptop, totally recommend it for a purchase in general, as long as you're not doing a five-year plan on this laptop for college kids that are in like some sort of graphics design program, computer science program. If you're talking about a kid typing up some notes in OneNote, doing some minor stuff, or sitting at home and browsing the web, playing a couple little Mahjong type games and balancing your checkbook, this laptop will last you a good 5-6 years.
Minimum, yeah.
As long as the battery goes, which is always, you know, its own crapshoot. But for $350, you'll be hard pressed to find a laptop in that price range with those kind of specs. So I found that one. I also found an HP, straight from HP, for $620 that has Windows 10 pre-installed on a Core i5 processor, 8 gig of RAM, terabyte hard drive, and it's a touchscreen 15-inch display that does a wraparound, which means it looks like a tablet when you want to hold it in your arm, and it has a keyboard hard attached when you want to type. So it's in the price range that Jason was talking about earlier, and that's available straight from HP. It's called the HP NV360 convertible laptop.
Could let your hair down.
A little bit. So those are the two big laptops that we saw, one in the low price range, one in the higher price range. And if you're really looking to go on the least expensive route, take a look at the Chromebooks. I bought my wife one with 16 gig onboard memory.
That's all mine has.
And it's fine. She's not had a problem with it in a year. She even took it with her to her professional organization conference and loved it because it was lightweight but still had a big screen, and she had fun with it. She works as an occupational therapist. In her industry, not a lot of people walk around with technology in their hands. She was kind of the envy of most of the other goers there because her stuff was quick and available fast when she got to the session, whereas other people were booting these old slow laptops and it was taking them forever to get to their notes. And she was just jump everywhere she needed, and everything she wrote went to the cloud. She could get it on her phone while she was walking between sessions. She loved it.
The other thing is, with the Chromebook, you need internet access just about anywhere you go to use the full features of it. Could I sign into my laptop, my Chromebook, in a park? Yeah, but I'm not going to be able to go on any websites. I'm not going to be able to make any Google Docs or anything like that because it's all cloud-based.
That's a good point.
Don't forget that as well. But I bought my Chromebook 3 years ago, just over 3 years ago, for about $200, and my battery still lasts me. It's still getting updates from Google. It's running like a champ. I'm very happy with that purchase.
Gotcha. So that brings us around to the other major provider of computer equipment, which is Apple.
Oh.
So let's talk Apple for a half second.
Let me get my Kool-Aid.
Yeah, got to get the Kool-Aid. I actually have Kool-Aid today.
That is weird.
It is kind of weird, but. So anyways, Apple. Two things to note with Apple. Apple doesn't really ever put things on a major sale. The sale you'll see Black Friday is not going to be anything more than a sale you can see at any other time of the year. Other than getting it in time for Christmas, I would not put yourself in a 4-hour line to purchase a MacBook all of a sudden. Don't wait. Buy it tomorrow. Doesn't matter. The sale isn't going to change that much.
Well, the sale price is also the same anywhere.
Correct.
So if you see it on sale at Best Buy for $50 off, it's going to be the same at Walmart, Target, wherever else they sell Apple products.
Yep. Or Amazon with
or
no
Amazon.
Line.
Yes.
Which is key. Don't stand in lines for things you don't need. Time is money, and you lose a boatload standing in those lines on Black Friday.
Both time and money.
Yeah. I mean, you lose time with your family, which is key. I mean, you don't want to give that up. So the other thing about any time you purchase Apple products, buy the largest version of them you can afford. If they offer the laptop with three different levels of RAM, buy it with the largest amount of RAM you can, because there is no going back.
Correct.
Same with the desktops. I mean, if you are debating between hard drive sizes, just go big. If you go small, you'll end up with buyer's remorse. And that's a real thing with Apple products. If you don't buy the bigger, just you're asking to be regretful later. Great example. My grandfather just went out and bought a giant iMac. I tried to talk him down from the big one. So did the lady at the Apple store, believe it or not. She actually really tried to coach him to what he needed. He's not a real heavy computer user. It's just not something that he does an awful lot of stuff. He plays his Mahjong. He does some small stuff. But he wanted a 27-inch device, and he was set on it because of his eyes. And he stuck to his guns, and he's the most happy with a computer purchase he's ever made. So that having been said, keep an eye to those sorts of things when you go to buy Apple products. Just make sure you get what you need, and don't skimp, because there is no going back with an Apple product.
And the way I like to think about it when it comes to Apple, now I have the Apples, to me, is they have their purpose. They're usually tailored to a certain type of
user?
Yeah, user. Well, that and, the titles as well, someone who's just checking email doesn't really need a Mac, but there's benefits to both. I have both a MacBook and a desktop, and I like how the Mac is quick. You really don't have to worry about viruses or anything like that.
Well, that's a bit of a misnomer.
There
you
is
do have
some,
to worry about it.
But not nearly as many as there is with PCs.
Which is true. And to that end, I coached my grandfather to go back to the Mac and get it. It's the first one he's ever purchased. And that was the main reason why is viruses. On his PC, he would lock the thing up every 3 months. And it wasn't really anything he was doing wrong. I mean, he was going to YouTube. He was going to normal places, but he caught viruses like crazy. And that's just the nature of the web has become very hostile these days. So,
and if you think about with your iPhones, when you get a new iOS update, everyone complains that their phone goes a lot slower. Well, you can't add more memory or a better processor to your phone, but you can do it to your computer. So if you want to prevent potential slowdowns on your computer, on your Apple, when the new El Capitan or new Mountain Range or Mountain Lion or whatever.
High Sierra.
Yeah, whatever they call it.
High Sierra now.
You can, if you upgrade it from the beginning, it's going to last that much longer. That's my thought process on it. Like, once again, the computer I built was overkill, but I've had it for 6 years. And I haven't had to do anything to it. It just works perfectly. So,
yeah, and that's good to know. So that's going to be our say on Apple stuff. I mean, again, there's not really a whole lot out there to talk about. They haven't made a lot of really big game-changing changes to their lineup. I mean, you got watches, you got phones, you got iPads. Nothing overly crazy to write home about. You kind of know what you're getting into if you're buying into those products this year. And that brings us to the last really big area in this holiday season, at least for a tech perspective, which is the home automation market. Yeah.
Jason, this is all you. I'm just going to sit back, kick my feet up. I got nothing to say here.
Yeah. So for those of you that I don't chat with that frequently, I have bought into home automation in a fairly large way. One of the main reasons being is I'm a Trekkie. And for me, the whole concept of walking around the Starship Enterprise and talking to the computer and it doing what I want, it just gives me goosebumps. And I'm not far from being able to have that experience throughout my home. I'm very close to that line at this point. I think I'm up to three speaker things, as like the Google Homes or the Alexa type devices. I'm up to three of them in my house, and I'll be out on Black Friday buying a fourth. Because Google is putting the Google Home Mini out there for $30 on Black Friday. And if you buy it at Target, you get a $10 Target gift card with the purchase. So you can get a home automation speaker. Now, granted, it's not like the best sound quality one because it's their small one, the equivalent of an Amazon Dot, for $20. And, you know, for certain rooms, you don't need that high fidelity sound. So in this particular case, I'm actually going out to grab this for my kid's bedroom, which sounds kind of odd, but I'm doing that because we replaced her light bulbs over this last weekend with Philips Hue light bulbs. So when she wants to play make-believe and she's playing with her sea creature toys, she can tell Google to turn the lights in her room blue and pretend she's in the ocean. And that's kind of cool. I mean, it really lets the kids be kids. Now, I got the light bulbs because they're LED and they would cost me less to run them. And at the same time, I could have a lot of fun. It wasn't cheap to buy into Philips Hue, though. Philips Hue is kind of expensive. And part of that's because you have to buy a hub in addition to any of these voice control speakers. So Amazon, however, put out this Echo Plus. And it kind of pains me to say this, but Amazon's market for home automation is probably the best out there right now. And they have an Echo Plus, which has the integrated hub in the speaker so that you don't have to buy hubs from anybody. So you can run any of the major brands of home automation equipment, from GE to Philips. The background technology is actually called Zigbee. And that's all this stuff runs on those background hubs. So your stuff from Lowe's, the Iris, all that stuff all operates without the need for their hub, which is nice. And Amazon's kind of a little bit more developed on their partnerships with third parties. And they're selling all their stuff is on sale through their website. Not anything special.
All from the comfort of your couch, too.
All from the comfort of your couch.
Nice and warm.
But some of the cool stuff you can integrate with home automation now is Logitech has a Harmony remote that you can attach to your voice chat. Google's Chromecast will let you put stuff on your TV from certain apps. Notably absent, though, is the Amazon Prime. If you're an Amazon Prime member, Chromecast will not let you stream up natively from the Prime application. You can mirror your device, but then your device still has to play the video directly.
And you get Amazon Fire Stick.
Well, that's right. So, and that's this is where, as you start looking, if you're considering home automation products this year, the market is still volatile. So, kind of like how I got kind of goofed on my 4K television, because the 4K wars were still being pushed around and done. This year, home automation is where the battlefield is, as far as what is or isn't standard. Zigbee's are kind of the standard in the background as far as how the devices communicate, and that nobody's probably really heard much about Zigbee at all, and that's, don't worry about it, it's a techie thing. On the other side of that stick, though, your three major brands of home automation points that you interact with are Apple is coming out with the HomeKit. This year, it'll be coming out around Christmas time. It'll be a speaker system that emulates what Alexa did and what Amazon did with the Alexa system. Google has their Google Homes, which they launched last year and then expanded upon this year with their three different speaker offerings. And they're all very cool, but the power of them, you know, they all start with enabling you to get to their streaming music service. Like, that's where this home automation for normal folk starts, right? So as far as people that don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to dump into automating their home and buying Lutron switches and crazy stuff.
What you talking about, Lewis?
Well, I know some people. That's how I got hooked on it. But you start with the speaker, and the speaker lets you stream music to your house. And then they started going and expanding about that, where if you have multiple speakers in your home, you could have them all stream the same thing simultaneously, which is how I got started with it. I'd have people over my home, I'd want to play music. But if I play music in my kitchen and I want to hear it in my living room, anyone who's in my kitchen gets drowned out by the volume. and it gets rough. So they created this multi-speaker streaming system, and it allows you to, you know, play the music here and there, same time, it's synchronized, and you can keep the volume at a reasonable level so you can actually entertain people without being obnoxious, which, you know, to me was a big deal. So I bought into some speakers there, which was cool. And then Philips came out with the Hue system a few years ago, and it was kind of pricey, and I didn't really want to buy into it. But now it's really kind of nifty. I can sit in my living room and say, hey, Google, turn the lights blue. I still get some light in the room, but it doesn't glare on my TV screen anymore. And it's dark, so it's kind of like the movie theater experience. And I didn't have to do anything. I just kind of told my computer to take care of it. Which is cool. So if you're interested in home automation stuff, Google's definitely got the best price on a home automation speaker this year. Amazon definitively has the market quarter on the different types of automation devices. I mean, it's got screen systems built in where you can do video conferencing with the Amazon Show. They got the Mini Dot. They have a portable speaker. They have the big speaker. They have the one with the home automation hub built in, so you don't have to buy hubs. So they're a little bit more mature in their offerings than what Google has. And then you have Apple, who's starting to dip their toe in the water. So those are your big three on that run. I'm personally bought into the Google environment. I used to be in the Amazon market and pulled out of that a little bit and moved to Google. And part of that has to do with the technology on the back end. I think Google eventually will be the front runner here. But I'm hedging my bet. No guarantees, but I think Google will be the leader in home automation within the next 5 years.
I mean, it's a competitive market, and it's kind of like the HD, DVD, and Blu-ray. I mean, there's two major things, and eventually Blu-ray won there, but who knows what's going to happen here. There's several hats in the ring, so...
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Any investment in this market right now is definitely a risk factor. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If one of these people will decide to pull out and stop doing it, like if Google all of a sudden after Christmas said, you know what, we're not profitable, not going to do it anymore, I'm screwed. I have a big investment in it, and it's all going to go down the tubes if that happens. So,
or if Amazon decides to buy Philips Hue lighting and say, hey, we're going to turn this into Amazon lighting.
Right. I mean, you could end up with one of those Highmark UPMC deals where, you know, all of a sudden we're persona non grata if the wrong people buy it and get into an argument. So KDK and DirecTV, I think it is having that where they're running those ads now on KDKA's channel. KDKA's got this banner that's running on the top. I forget which satellite provider exactly. I think it's DirecTV, though, is not going to carry KDKA anymore for whatever reason. And so there's now a campaign for people to call and make sure that that provider knows that people want to watch KDKA.
Nobody likes KDKA.
Well, they have the football games. It is what it is. True story. Kind of the same thing with, you know, cable cutting, which kind of goes hand in hand with all this home automation stuff. I mean, getting Chromecast and all that. Eventually, I'm hoping to get rid of Comcast for my cable at home. Hoping to just get internet and be able to just stream my TV in from like Hulu or YouTube TV or one of those other providers that are out there. So, but anyways, I think that kind of gives everybody a good run on what we see this holiday season. Interesting deals, a couple good TVs, couple laptops, a little bit on the crazy technology that's out there. If anybody has some questions or wants to chat a little bit more about, you know, stuff that's going on in the tech world, feel free to give us an email or catch us when we're coming down through your building, and we'll be more than happy to chat you up a little bit as long as there's some time for it. And you know, that kind of wraps it, at least from my notes. Either you guys have anything else you want to charm in there before the Christmas holiday?
I like cookies, so if you're making holiday cookies, I like them. Just saying.
Any particular kind that you like?
I mean, chocolate chip, peanut butter blossom, Pizzelles, no anise. That's not
good. Pizzelles. I'm going to have to hook you up then, because my wife makes the best Pizzelles. And we make like five different flavors too. We make chocolate, raspberry, vanilla, and anise. So we have a long standing run. She makes the batter, I cook the cookies. So that's a good time. So, all right. Well, nobody else has anything. Happy holidays for me and my family.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. Everyone be safe out there. Have fun.
All right.